1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace, justice, and the old before the Dark Side, before the Empire.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Journal of the Jedi. Happy Star Wars Podcast Day 2024. I'm recording this a couple days before the actual podcast day because I will unfortunately be at work during the day and night, so I will not be able to record on the exact day. So forgive if some of the things that come up when this video releases, being a couple days old, it's because of the fact that I had to pre-record this. But I wanted to make sure I was here. I've been here for Star Wars Podcast Day, participation of Star Wars Podcast Day, since its inception. Journal of the Jedi has, and Realm of the Mist Entertainment, Breaking the Fourth Wall Entertainment, have been a part of this, and there was no way I was missing this. So here I am. I've been out of the loop in the podcasting community for quite a while. A lot of things have happened in my life. My father-in-law passed away. I had to deal with that grief, as well as taking care of my mother-in-law and my wife, and you know, help get things in order. And unfortunately, now we're getting set to move. That's right. At the end of this month, I will be moving to a new home. So that is also been first and foremost. I don't know if you've noticed in the background, it's really a mess. That's why we've been packing, we've been fixing. I've been busy, and that's the main reason why I haven't been podcasting on either Breaking the Fourth Wall or here on Journal of the Jedi. It's because I've been taking care of some personal issues. But I do intend, especially after the move and we get everything settled and set up, I do intend to return to the podcasting world, because besides plenty of things that I would love to talk about Star Wars wise, on the Breaking the Fourth Wall side, there are plenty of things that have been going on that I've been keeping my tongue with, because of the simple fact of the matter is that if I open the floodgates, it's going to be a hell of a storm. So it's better off that I sit on it until after I get all my affairs in order here at home and here with my family. So I'm looking probably late March of returning back to a regular schedule of podcasting. I haven't given up. I haven't retired. I've been busy. I've been busy with my personal life. And I thank everybody for their patience, for their concern, people that have reached out to me asking me if I was ever going to do this stuff again and everything else, including everybody here at Star Wars Podcast Day, making sure that I wanted to be a part of this and making sure that I could still do this with all the other great podcasts, which before I even get into what I want to talk about today, let me go ahead and plug Star Wars Podcast Day. Of course, it's the 25th anniversary of the first ever Star Wars podcast that started this whole entire niche, this whole entire genre of podcasting dedicated to that galaxy far, far away. And all of us would not exist, this podcast included, would not exist if it was not for that happening. And so we pay tribute to the first ever Star Wars podcast on the day that it released its first ever episode every year on February 7th. It's 2024. It's the 25th anniversary of the first ever Star Wars podcast. And you guys are going to have the privilege of having all these different podcasts, all these different ones. War of the Stars, a Star Wars podcast, Star Wars Canon Library. You know, too many of them to mention, quite honestly. I'm naming two just off the top of my head, but there are going to be, I think the last count I heard was over 80 different podcasts that are going to be releasing an episode or recording and releasing an episode or performing a live episode today. And all you have to do on YouTube, on your favorite podcast, audio podcast group, all you have to do is look up hashtag Star Wars Podcast Day or hashtag SWPD 2024. Look those up And you will get every single piece of content because we are all going to be putting that those hashtags into effect so you can find not only my show, but every single show and every single podcast that is going to be putting on a performance for you guys in celebration of the 25th anniversary. So it's not, you know, it's not May the 4th, and it's not, you know, the... anniversary release of Star Wars Episode 4 in 1977. It's not one of those days, but it is an absolute important day in Star Wars history where we, as fans, are able to connect with other fans through our love of this genre, love of this group, and sometimes hate, let's be honest. Nobody hates Star Wars more than Star Wars fans, and we have plenty of those conversations, too. I probably will have some of that conversation today. But through our love of what George Lucas has created, has brought this genre to the podcast community and allowed us to express our thoughts, our feelings, our concerns, our dreams, our wish lists, our bucket lists, what we like, what we don't like, our own little fan base, what if scenarios, so many different things, guys. And it's thanks to the Star Wars community. It's thanks to the podcast community. It's thanks to the maker, George Lucas, and thanks to the Star Wars universe in general. Yes, I'll even throw Disney in there. Don't hit that stop button. I'm giving credit where it's due because even if we don't like what Disney has done with Star Wars, at least they are still keeping Star Wars out there for everybody. You know, we got new movies coming. We always got books. We always got comic books. They've been releasing stuff on Disney Plus that have been getting greatest. I know we get mad about the sequel trilogy and all that, but I mean... Bad Batch people love. Visions, I don't get it, but people love it. Tales of the Jedi was pretty awesome, though short. Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, Andor, Ahsoka. All these shows have been, for the most part, excellent. So, we still got to give some love to Disney. Not all love. We don't have to worship what Disney has done as compared to Lucas, you know, and his original six, you know, and of course the Clone Wars and all. And I'm not saying we should, but I gotta give the devil its due. Star Wars is still relevant today, whether we like or dislike what has been done with it because of Disney. So credit where it's due. All of that combined has given us a community within the podcast community, a community within a community that we all can interact with, enjoy, express our opinions, express our love and our dislike, and just continue to enjoy this galaxy that all of us have, for the most part, grown up in. So, again, thank you very much for joining me and joining all of us. Make sure you check out all the other podcasts. Give all of them some love, not just mine, not just, you know, Star Wars Theory or whoever else name involved. Again, the list is so long, I don't have it sitting in front of me, but if I sat here and pulled up the list and read every single podcast that is a part of Star Wars Podcast Day, it would take up the entirety of this video. So let's not go there. Just go ahead and look for hashtag Star Wars Podcast Day or SWPD2024. Any one of those two hashtags will find you every single one of the podcasts that are involved because we are all adding those hashtags to all our videos and all our audios to make it easy for you to find it and be involved with it. With that being said, let's get the first sad part of the news out of the way. We have lost one of the actors of Mandalorian. Of course, I'm talking about Carl Weathers. Now, in the Star Wars community, we know him from The Mandalorian as Grief. But you got to remember, this guy is also known for Happy Gilmore. And, of course, Apollo Creed. He was Rocky 1 through 4. And the father of the character who is Apollo 1, 2, and 3, which is a continuation of the Rocky franchise. Carl Weathers was a phenomenal actor, regardless of whether he was playing a highly egotistical boxer or a believable leader of a bounty hunter's guild who wound up becoming a leader of a planetary system. And his love for Din Djarin and company and Grogu and everything that he projected on screen, I feel the man was that person in life. Caring, compassionate, passionate, and intelligent, and truly a Renaissance man. There's no other way I could say it. I grew up watching Carl Weathers. I grew up with Rocky. I grew up with Happy Gilmore. Of course, The Mandalorian, and so many other things that he was a part of. And I don't think there was ever a time I was disappointed in his performances or disappointed in seeing him as a part of whatever it was I was watching. So he was, I believe he was 76 years old, and from the reports that I read, he passed in his sleep. So there's no other details as far as like what the cause of death was, but it was reported that he passed away in his sleep. So really, we could take it as he passed peacefully. And of course, my heart and my prayers go out to his family, his friends, his fans. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the years of entertainment you brought us. Which brings up the question, we know there's going to be a new Mandalorian movie, and I believe there's also supposed to be a Mandalorian season, season 4. What are they going to do with Greef no longer being alive? Are they going to recast? Are they going to do the unholy likeness AI thing that they've been doing with a lot of the actors when they want to make them younger, or like they did in Rogue One with Tarkin, who no longer was with us? Are they going to do that, or are they going to just explain away why Greef is no longer around? Maybe start off the season with an attack on the planet, and they blow up his office building and all that, and it's just, oh my God, he was in there, and that's the end of him. I don't know. I don't know. It is a curiosity that I have personally. I would love to know your guys' opinion on it. How do you think would be best handled of the situation? And not only what you think would be best handled, but what do you think the course of action will be that they will take, that Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni and all involved will take to handle the unfortunate situation of the death of Carl. I don't know why I just brain farted his last name. But, Weathers. But, so I would love to know what you guys think. I would love to know your opinions, and points of view. And also, I would love to know something about that. I don't fully understand. Again, I've been busy, with personal life, so I haven't been able to pay attention as much to the Star Wars news, as normally I would. I know we have a new movie coming for The Mandalorian. I know we have a movie coming with Rey. we'll get into that. But right now, on the Mandalorian side of things, is this movie supposed to be the end of the Mandalorian saga? Like, what I mean by this is we get season 4 on Disney Plus, and then instead of getting a season 5, we get the movie, and the movie's going to end the story arc of The Mandalorian. Is that what's supposed to be, or are they just, here's season 4, here's a movie, and then season 5 is going to come out next year, and or the following year anyway? I'm not too read up on that, so I'm curious, and I'm asking you guys, is that what's supposed to happen, or is it the end of the Mandalorian run and story arc, culminating in a movie? Personally, I'm looking forward to the movie, because I've looked forward to the Mandalorian. Yeah, season 3 was not as good as season 1 and 2, but it was still good, at least in my opinion. You know, I thought it was good. But I thought Book of Boba Fett was good. I thought it wasn't great, you know, and I honestly, I would have been happy if they just let Boba be dead, you know, after the Return of the Jedi, but, you know, he's a fan favorite, people wanted to see it, they brought him back, and I thought for what it was, it wasn't, is it the weakest of the live action TV shows? To me, yes. Book of Boba Fett was. But I don't think it was terrible. You know, just like with Ahsoka, I heard a lot of people during the times that I was handling it, I hadn't gotten a chance to actually sit down and really discuss Ahsoka. I thought Ahsoka was great. There are some things I would have fixed or done differently, sure. And as disappointed as I am in saying this, because I was all about, like, when they first talked about a live-action Ahsoka and Rosario Dawson's name was mentioned, I was all in. 120,000%, I could see her doing it. And as an older Ahsoka, sure, but I don't know. She seems slower in her action scenes than I think Ahsoka would be. I know I'm comparing it against the cartoon. But I also think she's a little bit too world-worn. Ahsoka, even at the end of the Clone Wars, you know, even at the end of Rebels when she was Fulcrum, she had a little bit more life and spark in her eyes. And I think they started bringing that back a little bit when she found Ezra. Spoilers for anybody who hasn't watched Ahsoka yet. There was a little bit of spark of life back in her, but for like 2/3 of the season, she was a little too downtrodden for me. And that didn't feel like Snips, you know? That didn't feel like the Ahsoka Tano that I've gotten to know for so many years through the Clone Wars and Rebels and now Rebels 2.0, otherwise known as Ahsoka Season 1. I think I don't blame Rosario on this. It's not Rosario's fault. I do put the blame on Favreau and Filoni. I think they wrote the character a little too cynical. On the opposite end of the coin, y'all need to leave Mads Mikkelsen alone. I thought Thrawn was great. He's older, sure, he's got a Trump belly or whatever else, but I still got the menacing, calculating Thrawn from that performance. Was it perfect? Was it what I envisioned every time I read a Timothy Zahn book? No. But neither was the Thrawn we got in Rebels. But it was still good. I still enjoyed it. I still was like, hell yeah, they brought Thrawn in. He's canon, and he's menacing, and he's controlling everything. I just wish they brought Paleon with him. Yeah, I think it's a missed opportunity not to have his right-hand man right there, because the dynamics between them and in the extended universe was always thrilling when I read the books. But that's a nitpick. That's not picking on the show itself. That's a personal nitpick. You know, people don't have to agree with me on it. It's just a personal preference. I loved the dynamic, and I felt that it was missed in the cartoon and in Ahsoka. But, you know, as I was saying, I don't think Andor was as great as everybody makes it out to be. To me, it was kind of boring. But it was still good. It was still better than Book of Boba Fett. You know, and I'm looking forward to the upcoming shit with, like, the Acolyte and Skeleton Crew. And I might get shot for this, even the cartoon stuff. I'm not a huge fan of the Bad Batch. I'm not. It's getting ready to release its final season. And I'm kind of grateful for that because there's only one or two characters I actually give a shit about. And I hate to break the hearts of people. The female clone, she ain't one of them. In fact, she's one of the reasons that completely ruined the show for me. She is, and I'm going to say the dirty word, she is the Disneyification of the Clone Wars. Because she has no purpose. In my mind, and watching the stories, she really serves no purpose to the story arc, to the character arcs of the other members of the Bad Batch. It's entertaining. I've watched it, but it's not my favorite. It really isn't. Does that mean you're wrong for liking it if you're somebody who loves it? No, not at all. Absolutely. You know, be you. And if you love Omega, I think that was her name. If you love Omega as a character, you know, power to you. But for me, she is so out of place. She's like Bugs Bunny running around on Endor to me. She just does not fit. Maybe my opinion will change in the final season because they'll finally explain why and how and what her purpose is. Maybe. But as of right now, not a fan. But I kind of went off on a tangent there. I'm sorry. I am defending Disney a little bit. But I'm doing that because of the fact that I got to defend something else that I don't really want to defend. And that's the fact of the new Rey Skywalker. I know I just threw up in my mouth a little bit too. Movie coming out. I'm excited to see a Star Wars movie come. I've been with the end of the sequel trilogy, The Rise of Skywalker. We have not seen a Star Wars film on the big screen since. No anthology, no Star Wars story. No one-off. It's all been on Disney Plus. It's all been serial or episodic TV shows or cartoons, which is fine. But it's been a long time since we all got to pile into a theater and feel the experience of Star Wars. With that aspect and the continuation, like whether you love the sequel trilogy or not, that's not in question. You know, art is subjective. You like what you like, you don't like what you don't like. But we have to accept the fact, we have to accept the fact that canon is canon. And whether we like it or not, The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and The Rise of Skywalker are canon. They are part of the Skywalker saga. They are part of the mainline movie continuity. So everything that happened in those films, like or dislike, is canon. So it makes sense to me because this is something I've been saying since everybody's been so upset about how The Rise of Skywalker ended and how things happened. I'm excited to go back to Rey a couple years later and her opening the Jedi Academy, bringing back the Jedi, but maybe training them a little differently. Those who have watched my shows, my podcasts, and talked to me about Star Wars before, you know I hate the term gray Jedi. I hate it because it doesn't exist. It is not something that should ever exist. It goes against everything that a Jedi or a Sith stand for. However, to see the Jedi Order, which we saw in the prequel trilogy and how they got corrupted and their hubris and everything else, and then we saw Luke bring the Jedi fire back, and then kind of fell under the same trappings, which is how Ben Solo was able to destroy his Jedi Temple and his order, which is why he was as cynical and green milk drinking as he was in the sequel trilogies. So I'm hoping that Rey, instead of being, and I'm going to say it for people, you're probably going to cheer, damn right, whatever. Instead of seeing Rey being the Mary Sue that everybody bitched about in the sequel trilogy, I'm hoping to see an older, wiser, I don't want to say Yoda, because that feels sacrilegious, but kind of it's a different genre of movie, but like, maybe like a Professor McGonagall-style Rey, who has now become the Grand Master of the Jedi Order, is training the next generation of Jedi, but is learning from the mistakes of the past. She's read the Jedi text. She's talked to Yoda and Luke and Obi-Wan and maybe even Anakin, you know, Force Ghost projections, and learned the mistakes of the Jedis of old, and is now pushing the Order forward in a way that maybe harkens back to the old Republic days, or even beyond that, which I know is not necessarily canon, but, you know, the days of the Jedi, you know, before the Jedi Order, where it's not so stringent on the rules, and it's especially not connected to the politics of the galaxy. I think that would be cool. I think that's something I would like to see. So what's my problem? Well, most people say, well, Rey Skywalker. Well, the fact that we're still in the sequel era, blah, blah, blah. That's not what bothers me. None of that bothers me. In fact, I hope we bring back others. I doubt we'll get John Boyega back, but I'd love to see Finn there. I'd love to see Finn show up with a lightsaber being like, Master, and Rey being like, Yes, Knight, Finn. You know, and everybody's mind go, he is a Jedi. Yeah, I'd love to see that. And maybe Rey had children running around her ankles, and here comes Poe as her husband. Or, yeah, whatever. I'd love to see the characters return. I don't know if it'll happen or not, but, you know, I'd be fine with it. I would be fine with it. My problem is the director. Now, I don't know her body of work. I don't even really know her name. But her quote of saying that she is going to do Star Wars in a way that makes men uncomfortable. All right, let me explain something to you, you dumb broad. I don't care if I offended you. Let me explain something to you. It is true that most of the fan base of Star Wars, most, not all, but most of the fan base are male. Because we loved following the adventures of Luke Skywalker, or in the later generations, the Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi and all that. But I've known people my whole entire life, females that love Star Wars, love the adventures of Princess Leia, love the adventures of Padme, you know, love the adventures of so many other characters. And my daughter, I have a 15-year-old daughter who was raised on the sequel trilogy. She loves Rey. She loves Vader more, but she loves Rey. You know, with somebody to look up to. But the point that I'm trying to make is all the way up to including the sequel trilogy and the spinoff movies, Star Wars has always been inclusive to everybody. It doesn't matter who the main character is. They could be male. They could be female. They could be white. They could be black. They could be Asian. It doesn't matter to the fan base as long as you tell a good, cohesive story that fits within the sandbox of the Star Wars universe. So to make a comment like we're going to make men uncomfortable when they watch Star Wars, that is stupid. You are alienating at least half of your fan base. Half of the people are going to buy tickets to see your movie. For what reason? Feminism? Making a statement about the patriarchy? Science fiction and science fantasy has always dipped their toes within political points of view. And let's be honest, from Star Trek to Star Wars, it primarily leans more towards the left side of the aisle than the right politically. So that's understandable. Whether you agree with it or not, that's understandable. But to blatantly smack your half your fan base in the face simply because they were born dangling in their pants instead of their t-shirts is stupid. It's stupid. And if I were Kathleen Kennedy, or if I was Dave Filoni, or if I was Bob Iger, or if I was Mickey fucking Mouse, I'd fire your ass on the spot. Right on the spot. Because we're in the business, and I'm speaking as a CEO of Disney now, okay? We're in the business to make money. The way we make money is through merchandise, through our adventure places and everything else, and through our movies, our ticket sales in the theater, and our DVD / multimedia downloads and streams and streaming services afterwards. That is our bread and butter. That is what keeps us going and being able to afford more and more content to put out to the masses. You are jeopardizing that for what reason? To be controversial? To be considered progressive? Fighting the patriarchy? Or whatever other stupid argument you have? It doesn't work. All you're doing is pissing off every single fan. Because I know a lot of females that find this to be wrong. And most of the male fan base that I know are like, what the fuck? Why are we being attacked? We're the first ones that would have bought the ticket to see the movie. But now? That's my problem with the Ray movie. That's my major problem. And I think if you don't fire the director and get somebody else who's going to make a movie for a Star Wars fan, regardless of what their genitalia is, then you at least need to make this director come out and apologize. You need to make her sit down and say, you know what? I wanted to take it from a different point of view, maybe a female point of view. It was not my intention to attack my target audience, which is everybody who loves Star Wars. So for that, I'm sorry. If she would say that, I might feel a little better about it. But nobody's corrected her on it. And to me, that is a problem. And I think that's going to be a problem if they allow her to make a movie that does make the male Star Wars fan base uncomfortable. Because that's going to make that movie lose more money than Solo suffered. You know, which, unlike this movie, Solo didn't really deserve, to be fair and to be honest. So, to me, and again, you know, you got, if you disagree, please let me know in the comment section below. I'd love to know if you disagree. I do ask that everybody keep it respectful. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody's opinion. And I request that whether you're interacting with me or interacting with each other in the comment section, that we keep it respectable. Because we are all fans here. We're all here to talk about things we love and have a passion for. So let's keep it within that realm of express your opinion, say what you need to say, but let's not personally attack each other for having a point of view. With that said, guys, I'm going to go ahead and get off on here. Thank you again for joining me for Journal of the Jedi Star Wars Podcast Day 2024. 25th anniversary of the first ever Star Wars podcast. Guys, make sure you hit up that hashtag. Check out all the other great podcasts that are here for Star Wars Podcast Day. SWPD 2024. Hashtag SWPD 2024. Check out everybody, man. Like I said, it's at least over 80 different podcasts that are going to be producing shows and putting them out on February 7th, which, if you're watching this, is today. Not the day I recorded it, but it is today that it releases for you guys. So everything's out now. Hit that hashtag, and you know, whether you're on YouTube or Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, make sure you put in that hashtag. You'll find the content. I want to thank the organizers for Star Wars Podcast Day. Again, it's been an honor and a pleasure being a part of this for so many years. I look forward to doing it for so many years to come. And guys, as always, like I said, I should be back to regular rotation for both Journal of the Jedi as well as Breaking the Fourth Wall podcast. I would say about mid to late March. Give me the time to get moved because we're moving at the end of the month. And get settled in, get everything set up, get the internet connected. I've got a brand new computer that I got for Christmas. My son gave me a gaming computer that is a million times more powerful than I've been doing this podcast on. I've been waiting for the move to be able to hook it up, set it up, get it all together. So give me the time to get all that set up and together. And I will be, like I said, mid to late March. I will be back on a regular rotation of at least once a week podcast episodes for both podcasts. So look forward to seeing you guys. Thank you for sticking it out with me. Thank you for hanging out with me. Thank you for supporting Star Wars Podcast Day. And as always, guys, may the Force be with you. Have a good day.